again, and he's got it!
Gavin was closing in. Oh, Gavin has scored!
Abdul Osman against Brad Jones to put Liverpool out of the cup, and Northampton 3!
Yeah! Get it!
Hello, Cobblers fans, and welcome to a special edition of It's All Cobblers to Me. I'm Charles, and on Wednesday, March the 31st, NTFC released their annual accounts for the year ending June 2020. Over the last few years, the club's accounts have been a hot topic, of course. First, there was the case of the missing loan money under the previous ownership. Questions around the 5U Sport deal as to where the money went, if indeed it ever arrived. The ongoing saga of the land development to enable the completion of the East End. And that's all before you get to the questions about the day-to-day running costs of the football club. And as you all know, I am no expert in football finance or finance whatsoever, which is pretty bad as a self-employed person. But it's okay because I've sought the help of someone who is a lot more clever than I am. He's a senior teacher in accounting and finance at the University of Liverpool Management School, the author of The Price of Football book, and co-host of the hugely successful podcast of the same name. I'm delighted to welcome Kieran Maguire to It's All Cobblers to Me.
Thanks very much, Charles. I'm looking forward to this. It's a busy time in the world of football finance. Every club on its aunt is publishing accounts this week. So I'm in spreadsheet heaven.
Now, the first thing that actually I wanted to go into was the actual statement that was released by the football club when they announced the accounts. The bit that's really interesting for me, and I know for a lot of other Cobblers fans, and for probably yourself, is the final paragraph of this statement, which says, "This year, for the first time, and to provide added transparency, the club have filed a more complete set of financial statements over and above legal requirements, and also included a financial results and business review section." So in the past, what we've had on the accounts has been a contents page, then an overview that's about a paragraph or two long, followed by the balance sheet. And in total, the accounts are maybe 4 or 5 pages long. The accounts that we've had released this year, it's 15 pages long. First things first, I know that you're a big advocate of clubs being more transparent. I've heard you talk about how I think Carlisle are one of the clubs that have released more detailed accounts and that you've mentioned before as being a club to sort of maybe look up to in that regard of how much data they release. Do the accounts that have been released by the club meet that kind of transparency level that you're looking for?
First of all, I would say let's give some cheers to Northampton Town, because have they shown more information in the accounts than they are legally forced to? Yes, they have. So I'm going to give them 2 cheers, because they don't have to. You know, and they have published them at the right time. Now, I'm still waiting from Derby's accounts from 2 years ago. So yeah, I'm going to give them 2 cheers for that. They've shown more information. We can now see how much money the club's bringing in. We can see how much money it's spent. What they've not done is tell us perhaps some of the key things which as fans we'd want to know in terms of, okay, well, you know, where is the money being spent? Is it, how much of that is in relation to the way that they deal with the transfer costs? How much is it going in wages? How much are the directors paying themselves? Because it is our club. And remember, you as a Northampton Town fan, and I have to apologise here, Charles, I don't know what the policy has been at Northampton, but I do know at many clubs, fans have donated season ticket refunds for 2019-20. You know, the club said, look, you know, legally we're obliged to give you the money back. If you want to donate it to the club, to the club's charitable arm, the community arm, or even the club itself, we'd be absolutely delighted. But yeah, we know that, you know, contractually we're obliged to give you money back. Now, if a football club wants to do that, then it should give you as a fan more information, because you're doing far more than you're legally obliged to do as a fan. You're entitled to money back. You're being, you know, good folks, and that's why I believe that the club should do the same. So I do think this is a step forward. I certainly welcome it. What's frustrating for me, and you know, I appreciate that I am obsessed with numbers, is that they've increased the detail, but it's not for me, it's not quite granular enough. So it's good to see that the club's income has gone up by £500,000. Fantastic. Is that due to ticket sales? Is that due to increased money coming in? They've got in the accounts, they've got a mysterious number, which they just describe as other operating income, £483,000. That's great. But what is it? Is that money from the furlough grants? Is that money from the profit on the sale of players? Because those are two completely different things. So through not having to do very much, you know, perhaps another couple of pages, then they could get a gold star from me instead of a silver one.
No, that makes perfect sense. So on the podcast, we've had the chairman on, we've had the chief exec on. They're always very open with us. Whenever I've asked, and whenever any other fans have ever asked, or any other media outlets have asked them about the accounts and why they aren't more transparent or there isn't more information in there, the answer that they always give is that they don't have to be, i.e., you know, we've already said that, you know, they have released more information than they legally have to do so. I suppose really what you're getting at is that it's a moral obligation. Because to use the supermarket analogy, if I go and shop at Aldi and then tomorrow they're not there anymore, I go and shop at Lidl. Yes, I feel sorry for the people that have lost their jobs, but ultimately I immediately transfer where I buy my shopping from to a different outlet. I'm not going to go and suddenly start supporting another football club if Northampton disappear.
But Peterborough is quite close. Yeah, there's nothing to stop you, surely.
Oh, there's a can of worms.
And exactly. You'd rather chop off your arm than support Peterborough.
Absolutely.
And I understand that, and you understand that. I understand where the chief executive and the chairman come to. Yeah, okay, we don't need to change anything. But they're operating it is that the club, therefore, only exists for the shareholders. You, Charles, and all of the other Cobblers fans, you are the biggest investors in Northampton Town Football Club because you will go to Oldham on a Tuesday night, see them lose 5-0, drive all the way home, turn up for work the following morning, and anybody in their right minds would say, I'm never going to see that shower of shite again. And on Saturday, you're there. Now, where do you get that degree of devotion to an individual business in any place other than football? And you know, when the club's asking you for the season ticket money in March and you finish, you know, 16th or 18th in the league and you've been pretty poor, what do? You just do it because it's your club. So they do have, in my view, a moral and ethical obligation to say, look, we're going to show you the full information. We're not going to put anything out which is competitively sensitive. You know, I understand that. So, yeah, I don't want to see individual player wages or how much they pay the manager or individual things. That's private. That's between the club and the employees. But I think they could show you respect by saying, you are fans. We appreciate everything you do for us. And I know that probably 98% of you at least that aren't interested in this. But for those of you who just want to see, you know, This is where we're generating the money from. This is what it's going spent on. This is the amount of cash that we've put into the club. This is whom not individuals, unless it is people connected to the club. This is who we owe money to. I think that's just good behaviour. And the thing is, if you have good behaviour, you know, I've mentioned to you a few clubs such as Tranmere. Accrington Stanley are another really good one. Yeah, Andy Holt, I don't know if anybody's not following Andy Holt on Twitter, he's absolutely brilliant because he will wake up in the morning and he's been thinking about something all night and he will send a huge thread and he's so passionate. So yeah, all of these lower league clubs are putting out more information to fans, and in doing so, they are, I think they're treating you with respect and they are acknowledging that you go far beyond what you'd normally expect between a business and customer relationship. You know, we are football fans. I had tickets for the Euro 2020 tournament. I was flying to see some matches in Dublin. So, yeah, I've got tickets from Gatwick to Dublin and back again. when it came to my football club last season, they offer, you know, I'm a Brighton fan, and I support a Premier League football club that gets all this money from the Premier League. We're owned by a very successful rich businessman, and I'm on a teacher's salary. And they wrote back and they said, right, you can have your refund, or you can keep the money in the club, or you can give your money to the club's charitable arm. So I said, yeah, myself and my missus, we had a chat, and we said, right, we give half to the charity, we'll give half back to the club. I'm giving money to millionaires. Now, I didn't do that with my flights with Ryanair. You know, as soon as COVID meant that the flights weren't going to take place, I'm straight onto the refund part of the Ryanair website, which you have to go through 17 pages to get and be able to go and speak Polish to fill in the form. But, you know, when they didn't pay me after 4 weeks, I'm emailing them, I'm straight onto them. And we treat our football clubs in a completely different way to how we treat any other relationship, which is business to customer. You know, and I don't see myself as a customer. You don't see yourself as a customer of Northampton Town Football Club, Charles, and all of the other Cobblers fans are exactly the same, because, yeah, the fact that you refer to it as our club, but because you go beyond what you'd expect from any other relationship in terms of business to customer, then they should go beyond the bare minimum, which is legally their legal obligation. And that's where I'm coming from.
The one thing actually that I pick up on here, so with Brighton's owners, multimillionaire, as you say, one of the things that we actually talked about a couple of weeks ago on our podcast, we'd lost, I can't remember which team it was against because we've lost that many times this year. But one of the things that we got talking about, and one of my co-hosts, Neil, just instantly turned around and went, that's it, I'm done with this. Until we've got a billionaire in charge, that's it. Nothing's probably going to happen. I don't care. So let's just concentrate all our efforts on finding a billionaire. The thing that makes me laugh, and I mean, we were laughing about that, of course, because it's not like there is a magic billionaire tree, but it's probably the only way, really, that a football club will be able to go from League Two and go all the way up to the Premier League and then stay there for a considerable amount of time. You mentioned the fact that essentially you've given half of your season ticket money to the club, but essentially that's owned by a multimillionaire. When you put it in those terms, you suddenly go, yeah, hang on a minute, what am I doing? And one of the things that I know that at our club, we have a segment of supporters who are very vocal about how much they don't think that the owners of the club are doing good things. And now I've got, you know, my own opinion on that. But, you know, there are always going to be polarizing opinions on certain things. And one of the things there that you do think about is actually, well, yeah, by giving money back for a season ticket, you're, yes, putting it into the football club, but the football club is owned by people who have got much more money than probably any other fan of Northampton Town. Because let's face it, if somebody was a fan of Northampton Town and they were a multimillionaire, and maybe a little bit silly, they'd already own the football club. I mean, I get it, because football clubs mean different things to us. But actually, when you put it in that terms, do you not go and say, hang on a minute, what am I doing?
Yeah, I do. I went through that process and I wrote it down because I thought, oh, this is an opportunity for a gag on the podcast. And I think what football fans have done in general, you know, the especially in Leagues One and Two, the generosity of supporters who, because this money ultimately is going to go and pay the wages of people that are earning far more money than them. It is an irrational thing, but that is football. You know, if I've lived most of my life in Manchester, why am I getting up at 6 o'clock on a Saturday when Brighton are playing at home, catching the train down to Brighton when there's probably three or four football clubs in the Northwest at least who are okay, you know. And I used to have membership at the Etihad purely because I go and watch the Champions League matches on a Tuesday. You know, if Brighton weren't playing, I'd go and watch City. I'd loads of mates. I used to play for a Sunday morning team. Most of my mates supported City in the team, so you go along when you did a spare point in time. This is why football is the greatest sport in the world. This is why, I can't remember, it's one of the attacks, but it could have been Carlo Ancelotti. Football is the most important of the unimportant things in life. But boy, is it important, because it shapes, it will shape the next 48 hours after a match. And you say, well, hold on, I'm sure you ask yourself, I'm a grown man, why am I upset about the result of a sporting competition? Because somebody's got to lose. And normally the person that loses is the person with the least resources, i.e. the club which is least wealthy. And, Sporting Brighton in the Premier League, that means we're going to lose more than we win. But it does. But it makes the victories all that more enjoyable. And it makes the memories. And I've always advocated that if you think about your life and you list the top 10 moments of your life, the moment you met the woman that you fell in love with, and yes, the birth of your kids is up there, but probably half of them are going to involve your football team, and that's not a bad thing, because you've got those because those memories keep being reinforced. Because every time I go down the pub with my mates before a match, and we're saying, who are we playing today? Well, it's all Northampton. Or do you remember 1987-88 when we won 2-1? And Gary Nelson scored both goals. And you remember the carnage afterwards? It was really lively. And then we'll have a 15 or 20 minute conversation just of these memories. And that's the greatest thing about football, because it gives you this amazing sense of togetherness and memories, which nothing else can really replicate, in my view.
Absolutely. And by the way, number one, beating Liverpool at Anfield in 2011. There you go. one of those things then. So let's go to the actual accounts, Kieran, if we can. Can you give us just a brief overview of what they're telling us as a Cobblers fan, please?
Northampton Town are spending more money than they are generating. So therefore, they are losing money. Now, I've got a spreadsheet in front of me, and I've got every set of Northampton Town Football Club's accounts going back to 2008, which, I bet that impresses the ladies. And during that period, they have made a profit twice. So, it has been a challenging period of time. And in 2020, it was actually their second best year out of the last seven. So the results weren't great in terms of the day-to-day running of the club. It lost just over £1 million. Now, they managed to halve those losses, and I'm not quite sure how they halved those losses. I don't know whether that was due to money coming in from the furlough scheme. You'll be able to tell me this. Did you sell a player during the season, during 2019-20, or did you have a knock-on fee from a previous selling that came through?
We had a cup run. So we got to the fourth round of the FA Cup last year.
Right.
Yeah, that's probably where that came from. I think we worked it out on the podcast as being close to about £500,000.
Right, okay. Well, I think actually there's another £500,000 to go, because if I compare the money that Northampton Town generated in 2020, £5.4 million, in 2019, £4.9 million, I think that's your extra £500,000 from the cup run. There's another £500,000 half further down the accounts, and this is where I think the club has made a step forwards. Give it plaudits for that. If only they could say, well, okay, we've stuck this mysterious number in. This is what it means. It'll take one line, and it'll stop me sounding like a grumpy old man.
The one thing I'm wondering whether this is it. So there is a on page number two of the accounts, under the title loss, there is a sentence that says the owners continue to support the club financially, and funds were introduced of £532,000 during the year to fund this loss and maintain a competitive playing budget while also continuing to invest in other aspects of the club. I don't know whether that accounts are there, therefore gives you the £500,000 that you're wondering about, or whether that might be somewhere else.
That's going to increase the debts. That increases what Northampton Town Football Club owe to this mysteriously named Belle du Jour Limited, based somewhere overseas, as we both know.
Yeah, it's definitely a contention that we'll probably come on to, if you don't mind, in a little bit. Is there any more information regarding the accounts that we maybe need to know? Or is that essentially the crux of it, that we're making a loss? And
well, it's making a loss if those losses are going to be incurred every year. You know, realistically, if you've got any ambition, if you want to be competitive, it's a really tough business. There are some good bits. Clearly we went into COVID last March with a genuine fear that clubs would go to the wall. But Northampton Town, they had 136 grand stuck in the bank account at the end of June. So, and since then, of course, you know, whilst they've been playing matches behind closed doors, they have received some money from the Premier League in terms of the grant, and they've had their broadcast money, and they've had money from iFollow. So that appears, is a positive. You signed players for £114,000 in 2019-20. Half the clubs in the bottom two divisions spend nothing in terms of a player transfer fee. So, you know, that might surprise fans, or it might not. Again, you'll know that. You sold some players, by the looks of it, who are at the end of their contract. I don't know whether you'd have sales. The club spent nothing on the ground itself. I suspect that is a bone of contention. But I know that your circumstances are unusual, to put it mildly. And then the final thing to note is that you do owe quite a bit of money to the government. Now, I'm not party political, by the way, but Rishi Sunak did two things which benefited the club. First of all was the introduction of the furlough scheme, and secondly was the introduction of what's called the pay delay scheme when it comes to paying your employment taxes. So therefore, Northampton, at the end of 2019, they owe just over 200 grand in outstanding tax, because the government said, you don't have to pay us our PAYE, because that's going to help you in terms of your cash flow. By the end of 2020, that had gone up to over £500,000. Now, the government's not going to say, you don't have to pay us the taxes. You don't have to pay us the taxes now. That scheme is coming to an end. So at some point, the money's going to have to be generated, or that money that we did see in the bank, some of that's going to have to go to paying what's owed in terms of employment taxes. Now, I have been asked by a few people, does this mean that HMRC are going to put clubs out of business when they start making these tax demands? From a legal point of view, that is feasible. I think from a practical point of view, the government and individual MPs do not want to be seen to be destroying a football club. So I think HMRC will be saying, you need to pay us sometime, and they'll probably come to some form of arrangement with clubs, because they don't want to be seen as being the big bad wolf here.
Is that what we've seen in the past when it comes to, say, Southend comes to mind? HMRC, they've had a tax bill that, whether it was a court case or something, was adjourned consistently for, you know, months or a month at a time. That's essentially HMRC saying, yes, you owe us, yes, you need to pay it, but at the same time, we're not going to be the evil guys that completely bankrupt you.
Yeah. I mean, Southend were quite fortunate, because it does come down to individual decisions made by individual tax inspectors. Southend did not pay a lot of tax for a long period of time. And I would have said in the second half of 2020, apart from Macclesfield Town, who were owned by somebody best described as a Roman, who was not really interested in the club. And whilst, say, people say, well, okay, the club's still there, it's not, people have lost jobs, you know, and Macclesfield Town doesn't exist. We now got Macclesfield Football Club, and you know, good luck to Robbie Savage. I used to do my marathon training around Macclesfield, because it's really steep there. And Robbie Savage is actually a really good guy. And I know this is probably, I've got people throwing tomatoes at the screen or whatever listening to at present. Listening. Robbie Savage is a good guy. So Southend were very fortunate because HMRC ran out of patience in the end. And they were the club, in my book, who were most likely to go bust. Somehow they managed to put the money together. It could be that the owner had been sitting on the money all the time. And sometimes the club owners, they get some sort of Machiavellian pleasure out of putting the fans through. Is this the last day? Yeah, and there's been so many clubs over the years who have almost gone bust. So those are the main points. And the very final point in the accounts is something called related party disclosures. And this is the relationship between the football club as a company and other companies owned by the club owners. I think fans will know that there's this Northampton Town Ventures. Well, yeah, the football club in theory owes 1.3 million to them. And then there is this this company called Belle de Jour. And you will see if anybody's interested, is that the amount of money that the football club owes to Belle de Jour has increased by around about £530,000, which was the figure you brought to my attention a little while ago.
Yeah. For anybody that doesn't know and therefore is sort of going, oh, okay, so who are these companies? So first of all, Northampton Town Ventures Limited is the company that was set up by David Bower, Kelvin Thomas and Mike Whaling, the directors of the football club, when they took over the football club. So that's essentially the company that bought the football club from David Cardoza and that lot. Last time I mentioned them, I promise. And then Belle de Jour is a company that I believe is registered in the British Virgin Islands and was created, or at least the first time we knew about them, would have been the last time that we were in League One. So the start of the 2016-17 season. There was investment supposedly made by a Chinese company called 5U Sport. And essentially that money, according to the club, and this is what, you know, the chairman and anybody else in relation to the football club will say, is that the money never actually came to the football club, never left China. And there were apparently political reasons that might have happened, where China said no more investment in overseas companies or anything like that. But what had already happened was that the football club had already gone out and spent an awful lot of money on the basis that they believed it was coming in. And therefore, that left a shortfall. And although it was called an investment rather than a takeover, my understanding, and you know, I'm sure that Kelvin Thomas or anybody else from the club that's listening will be the first people to tell me that I'm wrong with this, and I will happily hold my hands up and say I am if I am. But my understanding is that actually, Kelvin Thomas, David Bower, had to buy their way back into the football club. And that is how they did it, using Belle de Jour. And I know we've just said that there's an extra £500,000 on it now. But let's just say at the end of 2019, it was £4.4 million by the looks of that, roughly. That is basically the money that didn't materialise from China. Well, somebody had to pay the money that we paid out on wages and transfer fees, et cetera, because there was a heavy investment made into the playing squad under Justin Edinburgh in the second half of that summer transfer window. So that's what I believe is those two companies and what that money is. Obviously, the big question that is always asked by, I suppose, anyone, including yourself, Kieran, and, you know, is, well, why is it an overseas company? We can't see those accounts. There isn't a company's house access to that. It is essentially in a tax haven. So I suppose the obvious answer for why that company is set up there is basically for tax, not avoidance. That would be bad, but
I wouldn't, Charles, even say that it is for tax avoidance reasons, because Northampton Town have lost so much money over the years that they ain't going to pay tax for a long, long time. There's an unusual relationship between Hong Kong Chinese investors and the BVI, British Virgin Islands. So yesterday, Birmingham City's St Andrews football ground was 75% sold to a company which or person who has mysteriously just appeared on British Virgin Islands. And Bournemouth's accounts came out 2 days ago, and they owe £129 million to a company called AFCB Enterprises, based in the British Virgin Islands. British Virgin Islands is a place you go when you don't want anybody to know what you're up to. Now, could that be legitimate? Absolutely. Could it be that the person involved has got money from sources which are unusual? It could be. We don't know. And you're never going to find out. You know, you go to BVI for secrecy. That's why places such as these exist. So it's not even necessarily for tax issues. It's just that if you are very, very... You know, we're talking about numbers that they've got so many zeros after these names, these people. Is that 100 million? Is that a billion? Yeah, so you lose all sense of empathy for the numbers, because, you know, if I look at my bank account and I've got 20 quid in it and it's 2 days before payday, I'm going woohoo. Yeah, it's happy days for me. But it's concerning, because it's your club, and your club now owes £5 million to a company of which we have no knowledge, and we have no knowledge of its intentions. If it calls in the loan, what happens next? Yeah, that would be my concern. And you're never going to find out. Now, there's no point calling in the loan, because Northampton Town Football Club ain't going to have the money to repay it. But it's just something which makes you feel slightly uneasy. And I can't give you a definitive answer as to why the British Virgin Islands, as opposed to the Isle of Man, as opposed to Guernsey or whatever, except that it is very popular with Chinese investors who want to have some of their resources not either on the island of Hong Kong or mainland China, where the Chinese authorities can make it very difficult for you to get the money out.
Okay. Just to go back, and it obviously falls under related party disclosures, which is Section 11. And the reason why they're related is because it's both companies, so Belle du Jour and Northampton Town Football Club, Northampton Town Ventures Limited as well, are all owned or controlled by the same people. So in essence, and you've just said this anyway, Kieran, but I will repeat it, is that if Belle du Jour Limited wanted to get their £4.9 million back and claim it back from the football club, then that is akin to the people that run the football club, Kevin Thomas, David Bower, basically saying, I want my £4.8 million back, please. And they're basically wanting it to come from the same place.
And if you owe money to someone, how do you get it back? Then you have to think about selling assets and things of that nature. And that there's no evidence that they do want the money back. And when they say something here which might sound scary, but it is a technicality. Technically, Northampton Town Football Club are insolvent, because the liabilities, which is what they owe to other people, is much, much bigger than the assets, which is the things that they own. Now, there's lots of reasons why in the real world that might not be the case. But if they were to call in the loan, I can see no benefit in them doing so. That's the good news. What they'd be far better off doing is trying to sell the football club to somebody else who's prepared to pay more money than the assets. The asset values in the accounts, by the way, are nonsense. You know, accountants don't know the value of anything. So, you know, if I'd been living in a house for 50 years and it cost me 20 grand 50 years ago, the accountant would say, well, your house is worth 20 grand. So don't worry too much that the liabilities are so much more than the value of the assets. There are ways that we can deal with that. But I think, you know, looking at the level of debts that the club has, if the owners want to get their investment back out, it's not going to be getting out from the football club itself, unless you sell a player for £10 million. And with due respect, possibly not this summer window, from what I've seen.
Well, consider last summer we sold Charlie Goode to Brentford for £1.5 million, or money rising to that. And that was our record. So, £10 million, probably out of reach for many years to come for us, unfortunately. Brilliant. Thank you very much, Kieran, for that, because I think that has explained the accounts pretty... even I understood what you were saying. So that's how good it was. So thank you for that. We can very quickly talk about what happened before. So with the money that was loaned to the football club by Northampton Borough Council. I think in the end it totaled 10.25 million that was received by the football club. And then obviously not all of that made it into the places that it should have been going to. This kind of goes back to the whole transparency thing and how we can, as fans, hold owners to account. If there was more transparency between, you know, with the accounts, for example, and also then with any sort of subsequent loan deal, could we as fans have been able to have been in a position to actually maybe stop that from happening? Or is it just a case, Kieran, of, well, these people own football clubs, like me or you could own a business, and therefore we can do what we want with it because we own it?
I don't think you would have actually been able to do anything with respect to what happened to that £10.25 million. We're looking at the accounts for the year ended the 30th of June 2020, and we're talking on the 1st of April 2021. So it's been and gone. So all that the accounts do is give you a crumb trail. It's okay, this is what we did last year. And what I want, or yeah, what I think is appropriate, is that there should be more crumbs, just so that we can see in a bit more detail. Otherwise, you can go off in respect of the issues to do with the money from the local authorities. There was a failure at the local authority level, in my opinion. They are responsible towards the council taxpayers, the people of Northampton. And I think they failed in that duty, because if somebody comes in for a large amount of money, you do your background checks, you do your checks and balances. You know, if the council had said, we will give you the money, but at the same time we want to appoint a non-executive director onto the board, or perhaps alternatively we want to be a co-signatory effectively on the bank account for all amounts of money over £100,000, then they could have stopped this. Or even that they would have been given access to the clubs, you know, that they could get a warning flag from the bank for any monies that went out above a certain level. There were lots of things which could have been done, which are just good business practice. And so I don't think here the fans would know anything, or would be expected to be in a position to know anything, because, you know, this is, I don't know what Brighton Hove Albion do on a day to day basis. And I know a few things about numbers and a few things about finance, but also I don't expect to. It is a private business. But if it is in receipt of public money, then there should be more scrutiny from the public sector authorities.
Finally, and whether or not you'll be able to answer or give any sort of answer for this, I'm not 100% certain, but we go back to the fact that we are, as a football club, losing money every single year. You said before that actually this set of accounts shows the second best year out of the last seven, and we still lost £500,000. So things aren't brilliant by any stretch of the imagination there. And yet we know that there are football clubs, and okay, granted, coronavirus and all of that is going to have a huge effect, that we will probably see more, most of it, in next year's accounts for everybody's football clubs. Is there anything that you're seeing that football clubs like, say, Accrington, that you've mentioned, I've mentioned before we started recording, Shrewsbury, is there anything that those clubs are doing which is enabling them to, well, not make a loss, basically, that you could actually turn around and say, well, do you know what? Actually, if you just did this, these are simple wins or simple gains. And I'm not talking about the things like find a gem of a player and sell them for, you know, X amount, because obviously that's, well, you know,
under PPP, that ain't ever going to happen.
Exactly.
Yeah, I think there's a couple of things. First of all, engage with the fans, and people will attack you on social media, and people will attack you on phone-ins and so on. Go out to the fans, call a meeting, and say, right, this is where we are, and get them on board. So Lincoln City have, I think they have two or three meetings, board meetings a year, at which fans can attend, and that will be somebody, and that will often quite go, that might go out, or sections of that will go out on Facebook Live and things of this nature. I attended one of those meetings following Project Big Picture to give an assessment for the club, And so you've bought in the fans in terms of their interests, and you say, right, we've got nothing to hide. And if fans start to understand that just spending money isn't a solution, it's not a solution at home, is it? If you're feeling, if you've been through a bit of an unhappy period in life and so spending money on your credit card, which is the equivalent of doing, spending money you've not got, is like, is you're right. If we go and spend money on our credit card, we know deep down that that is not a solution. You know, if I go and say, oh, I'm going to buy myself some, you know, a holiday, which I can't afford, and worry about it. But what happens if I get on the holiday and start worrying about it whilst I'm on the holiday? So if you get fans to realise that it's a football club is just like our own personal finances, and therefore spending money that you've not got isn't a solution. I've seen the relationship that Andy Holt has with the Accrington fans. They are 100% on board. It's the same with Lincoln City. If you look at the satisfaction scores that Lincoln City generate off the scale, why? It's because they engage. So that's the first thing, engage, communicate. And that will mean that the fans will turn up at other events. So football's a really dumb sport. Northampton Town is going to be open for business in a normal year 25, 30 times a year. So it's sitting there. Okay, Sixfields is there 300 days a year when it's not really been occupied. So the next thing to do is let's see if we can sweat those assets. So can we get a 3G or 4G, some training facilities which the players can use, and we can start renting those out in the evenings. And I think, yeah, and so you start to say, we've got all of this stuff. I talk to a lot of people who are involved in the community schemes that football clubs run, because Merseyside and Manchester have both got huge areas of social deprivation. And what we find is that if you've got a young man or a young woman who is in danger of being excluded from school, is in danger of moving into, you know, they're being offered stuff by the local drug gangs. There's, you know, the proceeds of crime seem enticing and things of that nature. A teacher saying, don't do that. Don't waste your life. They're not going to listen. Social worker, not going to listen. If you can get those people involved in a scheme organised by the local football club, the first thing that happens, and I've seen this, and I've seen the transformation, is the person from the officer from the football club guy says, okay, you're a red or a blue, and conversations have started, and then it starts to turn around. Now what we are seeing, the Home Office and local authorities are willing to give football clubs money to run those schemes because they are successful. But why can't that be done at your club at an individual? Because, you know, and I don't know enough about Northampton, but I suspect that there are areas of social deprivation. I expect that there are issues to do with petty crime, which can lead to more significant crime. There are kids who will end up being excluded from school, and they will be disadvantaging themselves for the rest of their lives if they take that approach. Football clubs have the ability to step in. So you get involved, and therefore the local authority, this is where the local authority gives you money and you spend it for good things rather than houses.
Yeah.
Those are the type of things that I would really encourage a club to do. Make it more of a 365-day club. Get the fans to buy in, and to take advantage of this unique place that football holds in our hearts, that it can reach out to people who would say no to other parts of, you know, local and central government offices.
When you talk about getting the fans on side, so you said about how with Accrington, everybody fan-wise buys into what Andy Holt is trying to achieve and the way that they do it. And, you know, I am impressed by how such a small club can be so successful. It is brilliant. I mean, are you talking about basically turning around and saying, because this is one of the things that I always, almost when I get into a discussion about it, I turn around and say, okay, that's fine. But you want to have a football club that is financially secure, or even better than secure, but you also want us to be competitive, and you want us to be operating at the, I don't know, the top of League One. Whereas it almost feels like it's two things that operate completely against each other. You can't really have. So is it a case of actually, or are you maybe suggesting that the buy-in comes from turning around and saying, well, look, this is what we're currently making. So they've done that with the accounts. This is what we lose on a yearly basis. And turning around to the fans and saying, look, if you want us to be making money rather than losing it like this, that's going to mean a reduced playing budget. That's going to mean that we're not going to be able to compete. I mean, at this moment in time, it's looking like League Two next season. We're not going to be looking at competing to get promoted again. And you're going to have to either be happy with that, or the alternative is to be happy with the fact that we're funding the club at this level to be competitive, to give you on-the-field success.
Yeah, and I think fans will listen. And the way that Andy Holt's done it, he says that I've got a limited amount of money that I can afford, because he's got his Andy Holt's Wham plastic boxes, really good plastic boxes, by the way. I recommend them to anybody. I love Andy Holt. He's a fantastically passionate guy who really cares about his local community. And the fans have said, if we got into League One, that's fantastic. And if we get relegated from League One, we're still in League Two. And we've been in League One, and that's fantastic. We support Accrington Town. If we can go and watch Blackburn or Bolton or anybody else, we know we can watch more successful clubs, but we feel part of something. And if you feel part of something, then I think the desire to be successful on the pitch diminishes. If you've got an owner who isn't, I would much rather have an owner who has less money, but is more in touch with the club, i.e. the club's fans, than somebody who just sees it as a vanity project. And yet we've seen owners come into clubs, and because what happens if they don't love that club, they will move on. And you'll end up with a similar position to Portsmouth or Leeds or Bury or things of that nature. So it is tough, because you're right, Charles. There are two issues. There is sporting success and there is financial common sense. And I've got a chart which shows the five clubs which have been most profitable in the history of the Premier League. And the two ones which are most profitable are Spurs and Arsenal. Are Spurs and Arsenal fans happy at present that they've got profitable football clubs? No, they're miserable. The clubs which have lost the most, Manchester City and Chelsea, that financially, basket cases, trophy cabinet, bulging. So you're absolutely right to highlight this. Unless you've got a Mansour or an Abramovich, and most clubs haven't, you need to be somewhere in between. And I think communicating that to fans and engaging with them and explaining, you know, look, I'm a local businessman, this is what I can do, and this is how far I can take it. And if it's not good enough for you, I'm sorry, I can't go. And the fans would turn around and say, no, actually, we appreciate that you've put in, you know, half a million pounds every year. We didn't realise that. Yes, we get hacked off if we lose on a Saturday, but actually, it's still a good day out with our mates.
Kieran, I could probably talk to you for the rest of the day, if not maybe even the rest of the month. So thank you very much for this. It's been absolutely brilliant talking to you. One thing I will just say very, very quickly for anybody that's listening and wondering, well, there's so much more I could have asked and talked about. A lot of the questions that I had follow-up wise are definitely things that you have covered, or I'm sure you will be covering on the Price of Football podcast in weeks, months, years potentially to come. It's a fantastic podcast. So do go and follow, subscribe. And while you're doing that, make sure you've done that with ours as well. Kieran, thank you very much for coming on and talking absolute cobblers with me. It's a pleasure to have you here. Thank you very much for coming.
Well, thanks very much for the invite, Charles, and best wishes to all Cobblers fans for not this season, but for every season. It's going to be with you, God willing, for the rest of our lives.
Thank you, Kieran. And thank you guys for listening as well. It's been a pleasure. We'll be back. Hope you've enjoyed it. We'll see you soon. Goodbye.
Way! There's the cup. There's the pictures you'll see on tomorrow's back pages. The Cobblers are going through into Division 1. Bring them on, because we deserve it.